south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander...
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
One of the keys to enjoying your life here in Latin America fully and completely is making friends. Local friends, Latino friends. Friends with the common people, for that matter, friends with most all classes of people down here. Not that you have to hang with them, but that's a positive too. Nothing wrong with that at all. And on that note, I found out a long time ago, there are certain topics you don't touch on if you want to make friends. On the other hand, if you want to lose friends or just kind of repel the locals in general, there are some topics of conversation that'll get you in hot water with the locals right away. You don't want to do that. So, there are sort of four or five topics you want to keep away from in everyday conversation. Can you guess what they are? Number one, if you're an atheist, you don't want to broadcast it. Keep it to yourself. I found out a long time ago. You don't have to lie, but it's best to spin it a bit. It's just oh so much better and less dramatic to tell them when the subject of religion and your particular beliefs come up that you're agnostic. Which is close enough to the atheist smell test, but not that stark. And believe me, most people won't know what the word means, so you'll have to explain it to them. Meaning, however which way you want to put it. You can say basically you don't believe in organized religion, but you're not smart enough to know if there's a God, so you're just waiting for some proof. Or you can follow that little gem laid on me by expat Eddie. He says when people ask him what religion he is, he says, well, I was brought up Lutheran. And that sort of closes the book on the conversation. Now, he's not saying what he is now, an atheist. He's just telling them what religion he was brought up in as a child. It's an answer that works well. There's no more questions after that. All of us were brought up in some kind of religion, right? Even if you never went to church or temple or the mosque at all, every child still has some connection to a religion. I mean, really, when I was growing up, I never knew a kid who said his parents were atheists. So that's a big one. If you're an atheist, never bring it up in polite, everyday conversation. That is, unless you want to shut down the conversation completely and watch people back up a bit, thinking that God just might get his revenge right now and strike you down with lightning. Hey, I'm not saying you have to lie about it. Just ease around the subject a bit. By the way, you have to know if you move to Latin America, it's a very Christian society. And religion will be in your face all the time. There is no separation of church and state. And you'll find there's nothing wrong with that, except that the most pustulant of politicians invoke God all the time. The question is, why do the biggest crooks invoke God the most? Same thing with gangbangers. Why do the worst offenders have the biggest Jesus and biblical tattoos? Anyway, on the theme of making Latino friends, not losing them, or making enemies or having a bad first impression when you first meet people, another topic you kind of want to avoid hitting on in mixed conversation is the fact that things run much better and smoother and more efficiently up in the first world. Of course, we're not talking about first world governments or their bureaucracies here. We all know they're hopeless, paper-pushing slugs, just like they are down here in Latin America. I'm talking about gringos and expats I know, whining and complaining, sitting around with other gringos being eavesdropped upon by other Latinos nearby, bitching about lag time and customer service, plumbers, electricians, cleaning ladies, maintenance guys. For some gringos and expats, complaining has become a high art. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't have discussions like that, but just be diplomatic and recognize if there's any Latinos within earshot. You could be giving them a bad impression of gringos, giving us a bad name. After all, we're guests in their country. If it bugs you so much, you don't have to be here, you know. Because, you know, when you bring that stuff up, some Latinos will take it as an insult. Now, of course, it's a different story when your Latino friends or acquaintances bring that kind of stuff up. When they complain about it. That'll happen sometimes, especially with Latino friends and acquaintances who've been back and forth to the States, you know, sort of upper-class Latinos. They get it because they've seen the cultural differences firsthand. But as for locals who've never been anywhere else, that's life. They don't even think about it. However, when gringos constantly harp about that stuff in front of Latinos, let's just say it's not a good way to make friends. Now, speaking of ways that you might irritate or antagonize Latinos, Well, you've heard me speak in previous shows on how there's kind of a generational gap or break between Latinos who are 40 and under and 40 and over. That's pretty much the main gender gap cutoff, 40 years old. Fact is, if you're sitting with a bunch of mixed-age Latinos and you say something like, I can't stand TikTok or fake book twaddle Insta crap, you just hate that anti-social media crap. Chances are, the over 40 Latino crowd just might agree with you and sympathize with you. Now, the under 40 crowd, they're going to think you've been living under a rock. So, depending on the age group, you have to gauge your crowd if you're going to be brutally honest about anything you see, any observation. Same thing, by the way, if you're talking about how you just can't stand reggaeton. Again, you have to gauge your crowd. If you come out saying that with the over 40 Latino crowd, they'll probably agree with you. They'll roll their eyes, shake their heads, and lament the unfortunate demise of real music like you and I. But man, you say something like that to the under 40 crowd, you're going to distance yourself, even make enemies out of them. Oh, and there's another subject you might not want to touch on in polite conversation, where even if you keep your mouth shut about it, the topic will come up anyway. You almost can't avoid it because someone will bring it up. So you'll have to have some kind of response. Whether your response is measured and satisfactory or disagreeable to the Latino or Latina who's asking the question and thus throw cold water on the moment is completely up to you. I'm talking about that oh-so-common question that always seems to come up at parties and get-togethers. Why are you here in Latin America? Why aren't you living in the U.S., the greatest country in the world? Talk about a question that's loaded with landmines. And of course, depending on your response, you're either going to make friends or alienate people. Because remember, one of the life goals for 99.9% of Latin Americans is to escape to or live in the States or Canada, or at least visit Disney World and go shopping in my jammy. Which brings up another theme and an answer you should never advance in public discourse. Namely, you should never tell them how you really feel about Disney. That you can't stand the plastic hokiness and the contrived commercialism and the recent ultra-wokeness of it all. I'm telling you, if you want to be the last man standing as all the Latinos slowly slither out of the room, tell them Disney's for ninnies and dweebs. Tell them how Disney World and all those hokey movies suck. Oh, and there's another conversation killer that'll automatically turn you into a pariah when there's Latinos and Latinas in the room. Start peppering your conversation with the phrase third world, tercer mundista. That's a loaded word here, too. Gringos and expats down here toss that phrase around like rappers use the word hoe. So here's a tip. If you're in a mixed crowd, you want to alienate any Latinos standing around, sprinkle the conversation with the phrase third world. Obviously, it carries with it a lot of negative connotations. It's often taken as an insult. Now, of course, when Latinos use the word, and it comes up once in a while as tercer mundista, they'll often use it as an insult too. Like describing, for example, the case where suddenly no water comes out of the faucet. Same thing goes when there's a power outage. Sometimes you'll hear Latinos say in Spanish, now I know why they call it the third world. So there you have it. A few hot topics you don't want to bring up in mixed company. Now, that's not to say it'll wreck your gringo advantage. It won't. But as far as making friends with the locals and having people warm up to you, I've seen how that usually goes down. The fact is, in the early days when I first came down, I made all those same errors myself. I could be wrong, but I think I'm a lot more diplomatic than I was in the old days. Or maybe not. And in the early days when the realities of living down here hit you square in the face, there were times you'd be fed up enough to spill your guts at a party to people you didn't know or had just met. And then, later, after thinking about it a while, you kind of wish you could take it back. But you know what they say, you only get one chance at a first impression. Though sometimes it's worth it, and you pull out the stops, especially when you're stuck next to an entitled, know-it-all Latino rich kid. Could be a 30-something rich kid, because a lot of these kids just never leave home. Why should they when, at home, they live the life of a prince on daddy's dime? Anyway, when that does happen, sometimes I'll let loose on them in a sly kind of way, you know? Double entendres, strategic cynicisms, a few shots to the inflated ego. I'll tell you, most of those entitled rich kids need a dose of reality. On the other hand, when you're around good, decent people, as far as keeping the peace and cultivating good, solid Latino friends, there is one more topic I can think of you want to stay clear of if you can. That bullshit pseudoscience known as astrology. The thing is, I found in my years on the planet, the more nonfiction books you read, the more scientific you are, and especially if you have a degree or two in the hard sciences, you know, STEM, S-T-E-M, the more you come to believe astrology is pure bullshit. So it doesn't take long, and usually at a very young age, if you have a rational mind, you start thinking, when you're stuck next to someone, and it's usually a girl too, at least that's been my experience, when that person's blathering on about signs and stars and planets, suddenly you start to believe the less rational and credible that person is about anything else they choose to talk about. It's a fact. All my engineer and nerdy buddies rate astrology right up there with the flat earthers. It's not just me. My smart buddies, too, subtly subtract IQ points from a person who talks astrology. Now, that doesn't mean you can't get a laugh or two by reading your horoscope. I mean, look, I've been to parties back in the States where someone pulled out a Ouija board or they had a seance or someone was reading palms. There's some entertainment value in all that kind of stuff. Though English, drama, and liberal arts majors might believe in that crap, the fact is almost no one who's got a hard science degree or reads a science book now and again puts any faith at all in that kind of stuff. Not up in the first world, anyway. But down here in Latin America, where superstition prevails, it's a completely different story. Fact is, it doesn't take long when you first meet a Latina, a lady, before she tells you her sign and wants yours in return so she can sort of see if the two are compatible or not. Again, I want to emphasize the very un-PC fact that it's almost exclusively the ladies who are into the astrology stuff. You don't hear the guys mentioning it, though they might believe in it. It's just not a topic of conversation. But for the ladies, man, it always comes up. And of course, if you get on any one of those Latin Cupid dating sites, your zodiac sign is one of the first things they'll ask about in setting up your profile. Which is why I want to tell you about what happened to me the other day. First time in my 30-plus years down here, I heard a young Latina, 30-something, reject the whole horoscope and sign thing as bullshit, whilst the other ladies in the little group were spewing out their signs. Because that's what happens, you know. When you're sitting around with people you don't know, one person will inevitably spit out their sign. And of course, the rest of the group will then burp theirs out too. Well, this time it didn't go so smoothly. The young lady did tell her sign to the group too when asked, but she said, "I don't believe in that bullshit at all." Of course, she got some immediate pushback on that from the other ladies who claimed their horoscopes predict their personalities to a T. Well, that's when the contrarian Latina said, "I beg to differ." She said, "I was born November 17, 1990. She said, "If you do a Google search," man, I hate Google, but I kept my mouth shut about it. Anyway, she said, "If you do a Google search for that particular birth date," she said, "and narrow that search down to the most noteworthy people born on that date, you'll get a nice, big, gigantic list of famous and infamous people. Good people, evil people, geniuses, fantastic sports people, scoundrels, thieves, philanthropists, military heroes, narcos, bank robbers, astronauts, explorers, religious figures, porn stars, psychopaths, geniuses, genocidal dictators, murderers, serial killers, etc., etc. All of them," she said, "born on that date, including me." Then she said, "Now I'll Google the general life trend horoscope made out for people born on that day." She immediately punched it on her phone and started reading the zodiac general characteristics for a person born on that day. Then she started reading the common traits from the list, starting with honesty. Next came passive attitude. Is extroverted, likes to participate in teamwork, dislikes taking orders from others. Then came common career trajectories as managers, politicians, instructors, and businessmen. Considered to be very healthy with few vices. And being that person is a Scorpio, they're ruled by the 8th house and the planet Pluto, while their lucky birthstone is Topaz. That's when the lady said, "How many of you know that about 15 years ago, astrophysicists removed Pluto's designation as a planet? That means that every person who had the planet Pluto in their astrological forecast, when August 4th, 2006 came around, when Pluto was demoted to non-planet status, that invalidated every last horoscope that ever had Pluto in it." Anyway, about 3/4 of the way into that rant, that young lady lost her audience. But not me. I sat there and kept listening. And finally, when she stopped ranting about it, I said, "You're the very first Latina I've met who actually admitted they thought astrology was bullshit." I said, "I'm with you there, but I bet you don't have too many friends." Then I asked another probing question. I said, "Do you have one of those altars in your house with the Virgin Mary, Jesus, and all the candles and a Bible or two laying on the table with certain phrases highlighted in yellow magic marker?" She said, "Nope, but my mother and my aunts do. Would you like to go there and check it out? I can arrange it, you know." Well, I laughed and said no, but thanks for the offer. I guess you don't believe in that stuff either. She said, I don't believe in organized religion. And I thought, wow, hit the jackpot with this one. Then she said, but I do go to church a couple times a year during the big holidays. Semana Santa, that's Easter and Christmas, of course. It's a nice tradition, she said, for the ceremony and all that. Now, of course, all of the previous discussion was going down in Spanish. And soon enough, it was just her and I having a nice private conversation. I remember saying it was refreshing to find a Latina who wasn't into the woo-woo. Of course, she didn't know what woo-woo meant. They don't have a Spanish analog for it, not yet. That's when she stopped me and said, but I do believe in certain unexplainable things. I said, like what? Space aliens? She said, well, if I tell you this, you might not believe it. She said, I don't want you to think I'm going off the deep end here, but I've got a story if you want to hear it. I said, sure, sure. She said, my mother's side is normal, but on my father's side of the family, there are some people who have premonitions that come true, though not often and not predictable either. I said, what kind of premonitions? She said, my father's had a few startling dreams in his life, so startling he told us about them, and they came true a few days or weeks later. And I thought, sure, that's statistically possible. You dream about something, it happens a couple days later, and you dream about hundreds or thousands of things that never happen. Then, she said, it happened to me twice. I had two very stark dreams. She said, I saw things that changed the entire trajectory of mine and my family's life. I said, really? Tell me about it. She said, when she was 8 years old, she had a dream about numbers. She said, in a dream, she was on a farm. By the way, she lived on a farm when she was a kid. And this old lady was outside by a chicken coop, taking the chickens out and lining them up in a row. Then she took some black paint and painted a number on each one of the white chickens. Now, that old lady painting the chickens, she'd never met her before, but she recognized her. It was her grandmother, who she'd only seen in pictures. She'd never met her. She was dead way before the young lady having the dream was born. She said it was odd that the chickens were so obedient. They weren't running around pecking on the ground. They were very still as she lined them all up. And in the dream, she said her grandma made sure she walked behind every chicken and called out the number. When she woke up, she went down into the kitchen where her father was dressing out two white chickens. She told him she saw her grandma, who she'd never met in real life, and the chicken story. That's when her dad pulled out a piece of paper, gave her a pencil, and said, write those numbers down in order. She did so because she remembered those numbers. She said they were burned into her head. In fact, even today, 25 years later, she can remember those numbers and the order they were in. Now, here's the part she said you're not going to believe. She said, my dad was really excited. He ran into town. It's about half an hour away. Went to the drugstore, the pharmacy, where they sold lottery tickets. You know, lotteries are really big here in Latin America. They've got daily, weekly, monthly, yearly lotteries. They're legal, too, government sanctioned. Practically all middle and lower middle class people are addicted to them. The tickets are cheap, too, around 50 cents each. Anyway, her dad played that daily lottery and won 50,000 bucks with those numbers. Now, the plan for the family before that was to build a nice little house on a chunk of land they'd bought a long time ago but didn't have the money to build a house. Well, it turns out that 50 grand in 1995, whenever it was, allowed them at the time to build a nice little house on that land. Then she says, if you think it's just coincidence, so did I, because it was such an odd dream, and I had never seen my grandma before in a dream. As time went by, I chalked it off as a very strange coincidence, until I hit 14 years old. That's when I became sure it was a lot more than that. Now she had me hooked. I said, come on, tell me. She said, well, when I was 14, I had a best friend. Her name was Julie. And she had a crush on this guy who liked her a lot too. An older guy, a 20-year-old guy. But she never had a chance to be alone with the guy because her dad kept close tabs on her. So anyway, she went on to say that one day Julie said to her, she said, I have an idea. After school, let's walk down through the woods by the river. It's a quiet, isolated place where people go fishing sometimes. Remember, they lived out in the boonies. She said she made a little pact with the guy she liked, the 20-year-old guy, to meet her down there. It was to be a picnic, and the guy was going to bring his friend along. Also a 20-something guy. Anyway, the Latina telling this story now said she knew the other guy who was coming along. She'd seen him around and knew he liked her. Though she said she didn't have any particular feelings toward that guy. She was just a 14-year-old schoolgirl who didn't have a boyfriend, didn't care about boys that much. She was into her studies. So anyway, the plan was to have that picnic right after school the very next day. Well, she said that very night, she had a dream once again where her grandmother came to her, the grandmother she'd never met before and had only seen one other time in a dream when she was 8 years old. In the dream, she said, it was right after school. They were leaving the schoolhouse, her and Julie, and grandmother was standing right on the walkway. She took her hand and said, "You're not going. You're not going on that picnic." She said she argued a bit with her grandmother, but her grandmother was holding her hand tightly, so tight that her hand was hurting. And she said, "Grandma, let go of my hand. You're hurting me." She said, "I'll let go if you promise you won't go to that picnic this afternoon." And so she made that promise. Flash forward to the next day, she woke up and her hand was hurting. After school, she walked out, met her friend Julie, who was intent on going to that picnic. She stopped and told Julie, "I'm not going." Julie whined and howled and tried to convince her to go. But she won't. She holds firm and goes home. A month later, Julie tells her friend she missed her period. You can guess the rest of the story. Turns out that 20-year-old guy basically raped her. By the way, his 20-something friend showed up and was all pissed off she didn't bring her girlfriend. Bottom line, you can guess that too. An extremely lucky, narrow escape for our girl in question, wouldn't you say? Which brings us back to her original statement to me saying, "If I tell you the story, you probably won't believe me." So then did I believe her? Well, there are certainly stories with endings like that, but two stories in a row involving a long-dead grandmother? Kind of hard for a young girl to make something like that up. Then there is the additional fact that she has brains enough to reject the zodiac thing in horoscopes. She certainly gets extra points for that. Anyway, that's her story and she's sticking to it. Believe it or not. Stranger things have happened, right? All right, changing gears completely now. I don't know if you're one for wearing t-shirts with sayings on them. To me, it's always kind of painful buying a $10 t-shirt for $25 just because it's got a clever or edgy saying on it. But that's just me. Besides that, there are very few jokes you'll laugh at after hearing or reading them a second time. As for me, I don't buy a t-shirt for what it says. I buy a t-shirt because I need a t-shirt. When the old favorites are getting kind of ratty. Then again, it seems like for gringos, expats, and Americans in general, wearing ratty old faded t-shirts is in. I don't get it. But man, I'll tell you, you walk the streets here in Latin America, because it's hot and tropical, you see an unlimited amount of printed sayings on t-shirts. Most of them mundane and pretty dumb, but some of them real zingers. Of course, you heard me say that 99.9% of the locals wear t-shirts with English sayings on them, of which they have absolutely no idea of the translation. The t-shirt coolness factor has nothing to do with the translation. What makes it cool here is that the words are in English. And of course, when you're on the gringo tourist trail especially, you see gringos wearing t-shirts with sayings on them too. Some cute, some clever, some just woke and stupid. But I have to say, just recently, two t-shirts struck me when I was at Tucumán Airport just recently in Panama City. Now, there's a place that's loaded with gringos. Tucumán Airport, Panama City. Anyway, I was standing quite close to an old gringo codger, visibly deteriorating before my eyes as he was stooping over his walker. He had the most appropriate t-shirt on. It said, "If I wake up one day and nothing hurts, I'll know I'm dead." Talk about perfectly capturing the moment, huh? And then came an even cooler coincidence. There was a 50 or 60-something gringo, kind of scruffy-looking, Jerry Garcia look-alike. Could have been a Northern California pot grower on vacation. He definitely had the look and a guitar he was carrying in a satchel. And you know, it's a funny thing. When I see someone in an airport carrying a musical instrument, I like to sit down close to him or next to him, because I know the conversation's going to be interesting, even if all he's doing is playing tunes for Jesus. A lot of that going around. I'd say one out of three guys down here toting a guitar are toting it for Jesus, including that Jerry Garcia look-alike. And man, he could kill it on that old beat-up guitar. I couldn't believe it. Jesus would be proud. By the way, there's a saying in the music biz. If you're shitty and you have really good expensive equipment, you'll still be shitty, but you'll look cooler and have a better tone. Which makes you wonder, why do I never run into guys toting guitars, playing tunes for Allah, or Buddha, or Krishna, or Yahweh? They're always playing tunes for that Jesus guy. Nothing wrong with that, just saying. Jesus seems to have captured the whole Latin American scruffy gringo troubadour market. Who knows, maybe it's hard to rhyme the verses with those other guys like Buddha and Krishna. Now, speaking of music, sometimes we talk about it on this show, right? Especially that imbecilic, childish, vulgar stuff known as rap and reggaeton. Which brings me to this sort of spot-on email. I just had to read it because he starts out talking about a t-shirt. He says, Johnny, Winston here from Michigan. He says, I got an idea for a t-shirt. It should go something like this, quote, I may be old, but I got to see all the cool bands when tickets were just $5. Then he says, Johnny, I've decided to pass on all those super high-priced geriatric concerts that are coming through the big cities in America these days. He says, we're very lucky to have lived when we have lived. I've had the opportunity to personally witness people young enough to be my children listening to and really enjoying the music I grew up with. The torch has been passed. That classic music from the 60s, 70s, and 80s lives on. Though I can guarantee there will be no rap or hip-hop or reggaeton torch to pass. It's throwaway trash, just noxious second-grade vulgar street talk that's even more imbecilic than a second-grade nursery rhyme. One complaint, however. He says, I spent my adolescence in the 70s and early 80s listening to lots of classic rock, however defined, of all different eras, too. Sadly, it's gotten to the point that I turn the dial when I hear certain formerly beloved songs come on the radio. The worst case of tune abuse for me is Bohemian Rhapsody. I almost get physically ill when it comes on the radio. Same goes for pretty much anything on the Led Zepp regular playlist. And now, classic rock radio has even ruined Tom Petty. Then he says, I've often said, if not one more song was ever recorded after 1990, the world would be a better place. He says those songs from the 60s, 70s, and 80s would easily keep the world happy for the rest of its days. Everything after that was sonic shit. Then he finishes off by saying, the two things that bothered me about today's music is, number one, artists don't play their own instruments anymore. Computers are doing it all. Music has been dumbed down like the rest of America. My second problem with today's music is this. How come the wokesters can cancel everything? Except that racist, sexist, classist, vulgar stuff they call today's music. How does that make any sense? How come activist women in this world are not all over that? I don't get it. I guess I never will. Anyway, Johnny, just thought I'd vent, since nobody in my house, including my kids, want to hear my viewpoint on it. Or on anything. Well, Winston, thanks for that. Yes, I guess that's what the future holds for every boomer. You end up not even being relevant in your own house.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.